Morning. Today we're going to be studying from Psalm chapter 9, so we can just turn to Psalm chapter 9. Okay, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice. And he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lifted me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid, their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Let us pray. Father God, I just pray that this morning, as I share your word on Psalm chapter 9, what the psalmist is trying to tell us, the message of remembrance, the message of what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us through this passage about our forgetfulness, about how we as men come from a nature of forgetting who God is. Lord, I pray that this word sinks deep in our hearts as we remember, try to remember your truth and your gospel, and how we walk is entirely driven by how we remember you. I pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Amen. So as I was reading through this passage, I realized that there's this common theme that keeps coming up through certain words in this chapter. In verse 1, the psalmist writes, I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. So this is something that he has to do when he praises God. He's remembering things that God has done for this writer. Verse 5, it says, you have rebuked the nations, you have made the wicked perish, you have blotted out their name forever and ever. So again, this is God blotting someone out from the book of life. And as we know from Scripture, there's the book of life where God has the register of names of those who are going to heaven. This is something that Moses first alludes to in the book of Exodus when he says that if you would take someone, take me, you can remove me from the book of life, from the name. And so here, the psalmist is referring to the blotting out of the name of those who don't know God. And so again, this is an issue of memory. So does God remember us as well? So that's verse 5. Verse 6, the enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins, their cities you rooted out, the very memory of them has perished. Again, there's something about remembrance here, about memory here. Verse 14, again, O would you lift me up from the gates of death that I may recount all your praises. So we go back to the first verse. There's a bit of recounting here. Verse 17 and 18, the wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. So as I was meditating on those words and how the psalmist very deliberately reuses words about remembering, about memory, about forgetting, a certain idiom came to me, an idiom that we probably often use in the commercial world, that being out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. So some of you might be familiar with this idiom, some may not. It literally means that if you do not see someone or something frequently, you will quite naturally forget about it or him or her. Now, usually this happens in certain contexts. So for instance, if you have a friend who is moving away for good from Hong Kong and then you just naturally stop keeping in touch, then quite literally that friend is out of sight, out of mind. Or even just people in Hong Kong, friends or clients that you simply have not kept in touch with, and there are new friends, new clients, new connections that are preoccupying your time, then the people you haven't been keeping in touch with also out of sight, out of mind. So a very good example for me is that as a barrister, sometimes because being self-employed, and there's a rule that we're not allowed to tout for business, actually. The business practice is we're not allowed to sell ourselves. Someone else has to sell us. So it's very difficult to actually get new work. And I remember distinctly one of my clients once telling me, the practice of this industry is that if you're out of sight, you're quite literally out of mind, because there's always going to be somebody that can do the work for them. And so it just stuck really hard with me that I think quite naturally in a business where there's a lot of people coming in and out, you know, the old people, the people who are phased out because they just haven't been contacted for a while, is quite literally out of sight, out of mind. And then, of course, for those of us here, many of us here are parents or we know parents. So parents who just had new babies, their social life is down the drain. So quite literally, they are out of sight, out of mind. Probably don't see them for another year after the baby is old enough and that they can actually regain a part of their social life. And the reason why I think this idiom ties to the theme of this chapter is there are three points that I want to make. Firstly, this chapter is dealing with the people who have never known God. So it's not an issue of they having forgotten God. They just don't even know God. So there's nothing to remember. And the second point is those who have known God but have forgotten about him. And then thirdly, Jesus, our intercessor. And I'll come to that point in a bit. Firstly, never knowing God. So my question for all of us as I was pondering the meaning of what it means to not know God is that that is actually the essence of sin. The essence of sin is not knowing who God is, what he's done. We're not born in the womb praising his name naturally. The knowledge of God is something that is fed to us at a very young age. And again, those of us who are parents here, we know that when we try to nourish our children in the Word, it's not something that comes naturally to them. We spend a fair amount of time trying to explain to him who God is, what God has done. Why? Because we are born with a handicap. The handicap that we always have to explain to ourselves and to our children who God is. And this handicap came from the fall. In the book of Genesis, we know that initially the world was created where heaven and earth met together. Actually, Ezekiel 28 talks about that. When the writer of Ezekiel 28 was talking to the prince of Tyre, he actually goes to length to describe what the Garden of Eden was like. It was basically described as a mountain of God. This is where God walked with Adam and Eve, quite literally. In Genesis 3, God was walking with Adam and Eve. He wasn't just talking from the heavens. He wasn't some distant God who, the only difference between before and after the fall is that Adam and Eve somehow heard audibly from God. No, he was walking with Adam and Eve. He had a personal relationship with Adam and Eve. But the result of the fall is that there is now a divide. There is now a divide. We don't naturally see or commune with God in the same way that Adam and Eve communed with God before the fall. The generations after their sin were born without this immediate fellowship with God, without this immediate, unsegmented, undivided attention and literal presence of God. Now, some of us probably think the only repercussion of Adam and Eve's sin is that we now die. Is that there's a deadline on our lives now. It's that unlike Adam and Eve before the fall, we are not eternal beings. Our physical bodies will die. But actually, the greater repercussion is that we actually are born with an ignorance of God. We're born with distance from God. And the head of our species made a decision that now has a ripple effect throughout all of the generations until Jesus comes back again. And quite literally, that means when we're born, God is out of our sight and out of our mind. Now, unsurprisingly, every decision that we make where God is out of our sight and out of our mind is quite a self-explanatory, is not a decision made that would be pleasing to God. And that's why, as unbelievers, we would be cured from that lack of knowledge when a believer comes to us with the word, when a believer comes to us with the gospel. And so we are told this truth because of the knowledge that is given to us. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had that responsibility. So in the Exodus, they're described as a light to the nations. Why? Because God gave them the word, gave them the Ten Commandments, gave them the law, and the purpose is for them to be that example to all the neighboring nations, so that when people wanted to believe in God, they would go to Israel, become Israelites, spiritual Israelites, and they would worship God in Israel at the temple. That's what God wanted to do. He wanted to create a precursor of what mission looked like in the New Testament, because now all of us are like that Israel. All of us reach out to the nations. All of us have that responsibility. And the built-in assumption is because none of us naturally know God. We bear the responsibility of sharing that word with people, because to everyone, naturally, God is out of our sight and out of our mind. But my focus today isn't on the unbelievers. My focus today is actually on us, the believers. That's my second point. How quick we are to forget God. Because the fact is, the idiom, out of sight, out of mind, applies to us. The repercussions and the ripples of Adam and Eve's sin doesn't just apply to the unbelievers, it applies to us even after we have believed, even after we have received the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because of our fallen bodies, we constantly struggle with remembering what God has done in our lives. So when we believe and the Holy Spirit is given to us, there are a few things that the Holy Spirit, of course, greatly helps us with. In John 14, we learn that he becomes our teacher and he reminds us of Jesus' truth. In Romans 9, he is described as our comforter and he renews our conscience in Christ. Our conviction to do things for God is renewed by him, not by our flesh. He's the one who gives us hope and sanctifies us. This is Romans 15. He's the one who gives us hope and sanctifies us. And 1 Corinthians 12, he is the one who helps us claim that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus is not a curse. So the fact that we can even call Jesus our God is again the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's always working against our flesh. Our flesh, we always have to submit our flesh to him, because there is this spiritual warfare happening in our bodies. Why? Because we are always, always naturally inclined to forget about God. The psalmist keeps repeating in Psalm chapter 9 that he is recounting all of God's wonderful deeds. By contrast, that also means that he also will forget God's wonderful deeds. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have to go behind the psalmist's words to understand why he needs to deliberately say to God, I will recount your deeds, because just look at our own lives, we forget God's wonderful deeds very frequently. For example, in a good season, we forget about God. Why? Because things are going really well. And when things are going well, we sometimes fall into the false perception that they're going well because of us, because of something good that we've done, an atmosphere that we have created, a business that we have generated, an ability that is innate to me and me alone. That's why I'm receiving these blessings. And we sometimes even forget that these blessings are initiated by God. We say, thank God, praise God, but it's just become a word of, just a word that slips off the tongue. We don't really mean that. In a bad season, now, you might think in a bad season you would praise God. Well, no, actually, some people I know in a bad season forget about all of what God has done for him or her. Because for him or her, they think that God would not come through. So a very good example is, say, for instance, and for me personally, let's say a season where there's just not been a lot of work. There's just not been a lot of revenue, and that there are financial constraints and so on and so forth. It surprises me how often I personally forget what God has done and how many times he's answered my prayers and come through just because of one very recent incident of financial pressure. And it just, I realized that this is just my fallen nature. It's so easy to forget. So even in a bad season, we can completely forget all the good deeds he's done for us. So there's really only a sweet spot when we do remember what he's done. And the sweet spot is when he just immediately blessed us with something. Just immediately blessed us. So using my earlier example, let's say we've been unemployed for a period of time and then he blessed us with a job. So in the period when we are in the new job, we praise him. Oh, God, you're so good. But again, that could potentially only last a few weeks, a few months. And then slowly, as we become good in that job, slowly as we become respected in that job, slowly as we gain reputation, our good name, and so on and so forth, our flesh begins to forget God. We begin to forget what he's done. We begin to forget these things naturally. And when we are in the midst of forgetting God, we repeat the patterns of sin. So for example, in the midst of our tiredness when taking care of children, we may actually become very, very short-tempered. We succumb to our emotions and lash out in anger at them because we've forgotten God as we're tired. In our weakest moments, we forget about him. In the midst of being lonely and stressed, we succumb to our temptations. Binge eat, get drunk, watch pornography, give in to vices that give us immediate and false pleasures. This is because, again, in our weakness, we have forgotten God. I think quite easily we can probably tell ourselves that when we're in the midst of tiredness, stress, and all those difficult emotions, the first thing we do isn't to remember what God has done. The first thing we do is we want immediate release from that stress. And many times, that has nothing to do with God. In the Old Testament, when David, he ought to have been out there fighting the war with his brethren, and instead he stayed at home to rest. But he wasn't staying at home to rest to do devotions or quiet time or whatnot. No, in that time of rest, he was just walking around the palace, and then he saw Bathsheba bathing naked, and he succumbed to his temptations. Why? Because he wasn't exactly remembering God during that time. He wasn't exactly at home saying, God, I recount your wonderful works. Quite the opposite. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't even remembering God was there. He was watching Bathsheba as if he wasn't. And so again, that's how the sin came about. And that's exactly why, as brothers and sisters now in this fallen world, that we need constant fellowship, that we need constant accountability, because it's an acceptance that we naturally have difficulty worshiping God. That we naturally have difficulty remembering God, and that these accountabilities, fellowship, house church, helps us remember, helps us walk with him. But if I were to just stop there, then this message just creates this impression that our walks with God is incredibly tough because we always forget about him. And that's why it comes to my third point, what it means for Jesus to be our intercessor. Scripture tells us that Jesus' salvation has many facets. The one that we often are taught at church is that he saved us from our sins by being our sacrificial lamb. So quite literally, a legal exchange has taken place. When we are guilty, our sins are taken away because Jesus has taken on our guilt. So that's our understanding of Jesus' salvation. But we rarely talk about what Jesus is doing right now after we are saved. Because we often think of the gospel as the moment on which Jesus goes onto the cross and that our sins are nailed onto the cross and that now that he's off the cross and he's resurrected, our sins are now blotted out. That's what we think in terms of salvation and good news. But as a reminder to all of us, Jesus' work hasn't finished per se. It's finished when it comes to saving us from our sins, but he is with the Father right now doing something that is far more important than simply just focusing on what he's done on the cross. The fact that he's done this on the cross is the reason why he can do this now, and that is he is interceding for us right now. He is interceding for us right now. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says that we learn that he, Jesus, always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. We learn that he always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. In Romans chapter 8, we learn that we know even when we are not able, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So when we are not able, now that could mean many things. It could mean when we're just literally unable to pray the right words, or that when we've forgotten God, or that when we're in the midst of sin, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. These two passages tell us that even when we are living compromised lives as Christians, when there are moments in our lives we've forgotten about God, when we're not recounting his wonderful deeds, Jesus is for us. The Holy Spirit is for us. Jesus is interceding for us, this having been achieved because of the work on the cross. Every time we forget, Jesus is saying to the Father, I represent Jason. I represent Ernie. I represent James. I represent ABCDE. Even when he or she is not worshiping you, Father, I represent them. I am interceding for them. I am praying the prayers that they can't pray. I am remembering the things that they can't remember. The Holy Spirit is even teaching us how we should pray, even when we don't know how to pray, even when we're not able to pray. What does that mean then? It means that the Father is not looking at you for what you're doing. It means the Father is not just looking at your struggles and weighing the quality of your spiritual life based on how often we remember him, how often we are making decisions based on how well we remember him. Instead, the reality is that we can claim what Jesus is doing for our lives. Because the present reality is that perhaps when you're walking without remembering God, you may not feel like he's pleased with you. You may not feel like you're walking the way that Jesus is walking with him, always recounting his deeds, always worshiping him, always making decisions based on your memory of him. In fact, if anything, some of us here probably feel like we are at EMP because I haven't prayed enough, because I haven't spent enough time with him, so on and so forth. Perhaps some of you think, and some of you listening, think that I've been praying too little, I've been spending too few devotions with him, I've been attending too few Bible studies, too few fellowships, too few house churches. But the motivation for us to walk with God, in fact, doesn't start with our effort to remember him, our effort to attend these various gatherings, to try to walk with him. The motivations for our doing of these things is because we now know that Jesus is always working to draw us closer to the Father. The foundation of our faith isn't how well we remember God, because by default, he is always out of our sight and out of our mind. But actually, the foundation is that Jesus, his work is allowing God to always remember us. Always remember us. This brings me back to Psalm chapter 9. Because by contrast to removing people from the book of life who are not walking with him, we are always in God's mind. We are always in his sight and in his mind. We are never out of his sight and out of his mind. Why? Because Jesus is interceding for us. We are always in God's sight and mind. Imagine that. When we have friends that we are, new friends especially, that we are really, really spending time with, bonding and so on and so forth, it's always very exciting. When someone is in our sight, in our mind, it's always very exciting. You're always thinking of that person, or you're always in that person's mind. Maybe you guys will always think of meeting up. Maybe you guys will always think of buying gifts for each other's children. Maybe you guys will always think of opportunities to bless each other, whether in terms of finances, work opportunities, so on and so forth. That's the excitement of a new friendship, or that's the excitement of a close friendship. You're always in each other's mind, always in each other's sight. Now imagine, Scripture is now telling us, we are always in God's sight and God's mind. We are always in God's sight and God's mind. Not because of how well we remember God, but because of what Jesus is doing right now. He's always interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us, even when we don't feel like it, even when we have difficulty, even when we're walking compromised lives. And because of that, we are always in God's mind and God's sight. Now, what does that mean? It means God is always trying to speak to us. It means God is always trying to bless us. It means God is trying to always provide us with demonstrations of his wonderful works. All the time. As you would to a friend or a person that is always in your sight and in your mind. And all that we have to do is receive. All that we have to do is receive. Our walks with God is not about how well we remember him. Our walks with God is how well we receive his gifts. How well we are willing to humble ourselves and say, God, bless me. I have nothing to give you. I can't even remember your works that well. I have difficulty even remembering what you've done for me last week. But God, forgive me. Why? Because Jesus has done it all. I look to Jesus, and he's the reason why I'm always in your sight, in your mind. He's the reason why I'm always loved by you when I'm not worthy of your love. So I receive these blessings from you, God. I receive these blessings. I'm not worthy of these blessings. I've done nothing to deserve them. But Lord, I sit here and I receive. And I want you to bless me because, not because I'm worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. So as I want to invite Ernie to prepare for a song of praise. I want to end this message this morning, not with how weak we are and how unable we are to recount his praises, how quick we are to forget who God is, how quick we are to have him out of our sight, out of our mind, because I want to flip it on its head and remind all of us here who are here and listening in that we're always in God's sight and God's mind, that we're always loved by him even when we're walking compromised lives, that as believers, Jesus is interceding for us. He's doing the hard work. He's the one who will never forget about God. He's the one who was in a perfect relationship with God even before creation, John 17:24. He was always in that perfect fellowship with the Father in heaven. He is always in God's sight and God's mind. And as long as we are with Christ, we are always in God's sight and God's mind.
supposed to your love for me. You have been so, so good to me, yes, Lord. When I felt no word, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind. Love of God, oh, in Jesus.
Yeah, as Ernie was singing earlier, before you spoke a word, you were singing. Before we spoke a word, you were singing over me. And how true it is, and as it says in Psalm 9, you know, it's so easy for us to forget who God is. We always have to recount His goodness. And yet, before we even recount His wonderful works, He has already been recklessly loving us. He has already been reaching out to us. He has already been speaking and singing over us. So let's just spend a little moment of time receiving. Just to receiving. Just knowing that God loves us more than we love Him. That He remembers us more than we remember Him. But that for every moment and every time that we're reminded that He loves us more, that we just want to respond with praise and we just want to respond with thankfulness. Let us spend a bit of time to pray for the community. Let's pray for those who've been diagnosed with cancer and those of us, the brothers and sisters here, or the family members who are going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let us also pray for those of us who don't yet know God and are suffering from an illness right now, and pray for healing and that they also get to meet with Jesus. Let's also pray for those with infirmities. Thank you. Let's also pray for those who are in the middle of their job searches. Let's pray that that God would continue to bless them during this time as they're on the search, and that He will present opportunities, excellent opportunities soon, and that they're ready to receive these opportunities. Let's also pray for Mission Focus, for North Korea, as we pray for open doors for ministry. Obviously, we know what's going on with North and South Korea now, so we can also pray for the interrelationship between North and South Korea as well. Let's also pray for more missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, including those that we already have, and also for the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Next up, let's pray for the different weekend gatherings. We have Alpha, EG Retreat, GIC, Women's Discipleship, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, Sunday Services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, Spin Services and Activities, and all the meetings. In particular, Spin has now moved into a new location, praise God. So let's also pray that with the new location comes a new influx of people who would be attending these services. So let's pray for that. Finally, let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today, Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside, and Westside. Just pray that they really have an opportunity to really to dive deep into the word that was shared on Sunday, shared by Pastor Ricky. And I pray, Lord, that there will be really, really edifying discussions that will build up the brothers and sisters who are attending these house churches. Thank you, Father, for this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we spent this morning just to really respond to your reckless love and respond to the fact that we are always in your sight and in your mind, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will always remind us of that truth. He will always teach us to remember you better. and teach us to hold every thought captive to your Son, to Christ. I do pray that, Father, you would teach us to remember you better, that you'll teach us to think of you more, your Holy Spirit will convict us more, and that we'll receive your Spirit to really convict us and to transform our conscience and our thoughts to be more like Jesus's. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for all of us listening here as well, that we have a blessed weekend and that we use this time to really get to know you better and to receive you better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Guys, I pray that you have a good time this morning. I'll see you tomorrow.